Now today in our Bible study, we are going to look at another little section from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. Today our reading will take us from verses 13 through verse 16. Just before we read the verses, let us acknowledge God in prayer. Our Father, we turn again to Thee, coming to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we can acknowledge Thee as the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor any shadow ever cast by turning. We believe Thou art ready and willing to bless Thy people at all times if they will come to Thee as suppliants. So we come to Thee now. By Thy Holy Spirit, bless every listener as we ask it in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. Now let me read these verses to you. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. I hope that at home you take time to read and reread and restudy the verses that we read here on the broadcast. Perhaps you're traveling at this time and you don't have your Bible handy. And when you get home or get a moment to spare, take time to read these things. Now, in our last study, as we introduced this particular section of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, we reminded you that what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, I like to refer to as the principles of the kingdom. For it seems to me this is the King making his royal proclamation, setting forth the standards and principles upon which his kingdom will be built. In the first 12 verses, we dealt with the identification of the citizens, that which marked the character of the man who was the citizen in the kingdom. We noticed, first of all, that he had to have a true relationship to God. Following that, there would be his relationship to other men. How can we possibly be in a true relationship with our fellows if we're not in a true relationship with God? Now I'm going to suggest now that verses 13 through 16, here we have the influence of the citizen. Remember, when we speak of the citizen in the kingdom, we're referring to these people who are mentioned in verse 1. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. A disciple, you will remember, is one who has acknowledged the Master, one who is following on to know the Lord, a follower of the Lord. So therefore, here is then the influence of the citizen. There are two things mentioned here. First of all, there is salt, and then there is light. Verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. So first of all, the citizen is looked upon as being salt as to his influence, and then he is looked upon as being light as to his influence. Now, what is the influence of salt? May I suggest that while many ideas may be put forth and salt may have a variety of functions, nevertheless here It would seem in this case to be its power to prevent corruption. Salt is an influence then to prevent corruption. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, we're living in the closing stages now of this great 20th century. Might I suggest to all my intelligent listeners today that if you care to look back over this century, you'll come to this conclusion that this world is a very corrupt world. People who begin to think will realize that there has been an awful lot put forth at the beginning of this century and throughout this century that doesn't fit in with the present conditions. Men thought that they had really reached the stage of maturity. Man had made it, so to speak. Why, we had developed our educational systems to such an extent that all you had to do now was educate people. And by means of education, you would overcome all the difficulties. There was to be education in the sciences. Man was advancing. He had come from a very low level. Now in the 20th century, he had reached the point. He was going to be able now to control things in a way that would make this old world of ours a veritable paradise. There was to be advances in the medical science, and let us admit this, these medical men have made great advances, but with all the advances in knowledge in medical science, we've got to admit this. We are still in the throes of disease. People are still suffering from a multitude of diseases. People are still dying. And so therefore, in spite of all the advances of medical science, we have not yet overcome disease. And we have not yet overcome old age. And we have not been able to defeat death. Death and decay are all around us in this old world. And then from the political point of view, they thought they had made it now. They could set up their world councils. They could set up their League of Nations or their United Nations. And all they had to do was get people together and discuss things. And by means of dialogue and the expression of ideas, we would be able to control things throughout the world. And so therefore we would prevent war. There never was a century that had so many wars as we've had in the 20th century. Why, it's been wars and rumors of wars throughout all the years of the 20th century. And these wars have become more diabolical. Oh, they have the things now whereby they could almost wipe out a whole country in a matter of minutes. And yet, they make the claims of their great advances. All you need to do now is educate our children. Give them the proper standard of education and we shall wipe out all the different crimes and vices and sins. Yet isn't it strange? We're facing things today in such a degree that we are unable to control the crime. We haven't got places in our prisons today where we can house the criminals. There are so many of them. And then young folks are being involved in crime. There are more drugs today being swallowed by our teenagers. and we discover this, that something has gone wrong somewhere along the line between drinking of alcoholic liquor and the taking of drugs and the breaking of the law, why our legislators are almost at their tether's end. Our law representatives hardly know how to cope with what is going on. Are you surprised? We need not be. See, this world is corrupt. There's corruption all around us. Now, it's in the midst of such corruption, he is saying, ye are the salt of the earth. So the salt is supposed to have an influence to prevent corruption. Of course, this raises many difficulties. If he's saying to his disciples, ye are the salt of the earth, it would almost appear from what we're seeing around us today that the salt is not having the proper effect. Well, now he says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Salt has a great influence. It can prevent corruption. You take a piece of meat, and if it's not salted, it very soon will corrupt. It will become putrid, unusable. You'll only throw it out. But if the salt is applied, it can prevent that corruption. But suppose you have salt that has lost its savour. That is, salt that has lost its tang. Salt that has lost that sting. Then it can't do anything if the salt has lost its savour. Ye are the salt of the earth. Is it possible that at the present time this influence that should be felt coming from Christians is not being felt because they've lost their saltiness. They've lost their tang. Now, let me suggest this to you. If it raises some difficulties, some would say, well, how can we do it? Might I say this? That here the Christian is not expected to organize some kind of society to go and influence those who are in government. I believe, with many others, that church and state should be separate. But nevertheless, we're dealing here with individuals. As individuals, we are supposed to have an influence in order to prevent corruption. However, some people have gone to extremes on this, and some folk have organized, and they've organized societies, and they've gone up to Washington, or they've gone to London, they've gone to their capital cities, they've tried to influence the men who are in the government in order to get certain legislation. My friend, let me say it very kindly, I don't think that is what is in view here in our verse. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now the salt here has to do with the individual. We have seen in the first 12 verses what is the identification of the citizen, his character. And if we know something of the character of these men, then the very character of the man will be that which will act as salt. You know, there are certain men, and they only need to walk into some company, and my, the conversation changes. There are some people who have such respect for Christians that they'll watch what they say in their presence. Why? Because the man has the influence there like salt. His very presence seems to prevent corrupt talk. A man was once asked to take a place on a board of directors of a very large company. He was called in to the boardroom one day, and the chairman of the board looked across the table at him, mentioning him by name, and he said, Mr. So-and-so, the board of directors require to appoint another director. There was a vacancy on the board. It is the consensus of opinion of all the board, all the members of the board, that you should be invited to take the seat on the board of directors. He looked at the chairman, and he looked at the other members of the board. He says, Gentlemen, I thank you for your vote of confidence. I consider it an honor, but let me say very frankly, I profess to be a Christian. And as a Christian, I could never be a party to anything shady or underhand. I will require to just do that which is honest and upright before God and man. The chairman looked down the table at this young man, mentioning him again by name. He says, We appreciate your statement, but let me tell you, for that very reason, the members of this board decided to invite you to become a member with us. He accepted the invitation, and he finished by occupying the chairman's position. He became chairman of the board of that large company. But you see, he took his stand. He had his influence. And I can assure you, as long as he was on that board, and as long as he was the chairman of the board of directors, he acted according to Christian principles. Ye are the salt of the earth. At the present time, this old world is corrupt. It's corrupt politically. It's corrupt morally. It's corrupt economically. We're living in the midst of a corrupt world. The Bible says so. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And as it was in the days of Lot when he lived down in Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We're living in a corrupt world, and it's getting worse. But in the meantime, as long as we are in the world, the Christian has got to be an influence in it, like salt, preventing the spread of the corruption. But remember, when the Christians are taken away at the time of the rapture, there will be no preventive element then, and this old world will run on to its own doom. But now he uses another illustration here to show the influence of the citizen. Ye are the light of the world. Now, what is the influence of light? Surely it is able to dispel darkness. You think of the sun and the moon. Now, the sun and the moon are not part of this earth. Anyone knows that. But nevertheless, we require the influence of the sun, and we require the influence of the moon. We require them for light. They are lights to rule the day and rule the night. So therefore he said, Ye are the light of the world. There is the testimony that is united and public, a city set on a hill. Then the testimony domestic and private, the light in the business and in the home. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, as you approach a city, you usually see a great glare in the sky. For in the city there are many lights. It is a kind of united light. You have all the lights coming from the street lights, and from the houses and the shops and so on. And from a distance you realize you are approaching a city because of the tremendous glow in the sky. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. If the city is on a hill and there are many lights there, then of course it's seen from a great distance. Ye are a city, he said, set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Here is the united testimony. May I suggest that Christians should be a great testimony in whatever town they are located, in whatever town or city they are, and they come together as a united company to bear a testimony for the Lord, then they are a united testimony. They're like a light. Ye are the light of the world. But not only do we have the testimony that is united and public, like the city set on a hill, but he looks at the light from another point of view, and he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Now, if you were to light a candle, you usually put it in a place where it will be seen. He says here, on the candlestick or up on the lampstand. And so you place the light where it will be seen. You don't put it under a bushel. Now that would suggest to me this, that a man's light is not to be hid in his business. You know, it's possible for people to pretend to be good Christians on a Sunday. But like the gentleman who went to his work one Monday morning, and one of the men who worked under him turned to him because he was speaking rather roughly to some of the men, and one of the men said to him, Tom, where's your Bible this morning? He looked at the man, he said, I don't bring my Bible to my work. I leave my Bible at home. Now that was not a good answer to give. If he was a Christian on a Sunday, then he ought to live by the same standard on the Monday. You don't hide your light under the bushel. If you're a Christian when you go to church on the Sunday, you should be a Christian when you go to the business on the Monday. We've got to be Christians 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. So therefore, you don't light the candle or light the lamp and put it under a bushel. Of course not. You put it where it's going to shine. And it says, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So therefore, whether it be in the business or in the house, there's another scripture that tells us you don't light the candle and put it under the bed, because if you put it under the bed, it would set the bed on fire. That's not a place for a light. So therefore, you don't hide your light where you're lazing around or sleeping. Of course not. The light is put up that men may see it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That throws you back on the first 12 verses where we saw a man's relationship to God and his relationship to others. If he's merciful in spirit and he's got purity of heart and he's one of the peacemakers, and even if he's persecuted for righteousness' sake, nevertheless, he should let his light so shine before men. Ye are the light of the world. And a light has got to be placed where it can be seen. And the light has got to shine for the benefit of others, of course. And if the light is shining, it will dispel the darkness. We have shown that in this world today there's a great amount of corruption, moral corruption. There's also a great amount of darkness. People are in spiritual darkness. And because they're in spiritual darkness, you ask yourself this question, why? And the Bible gives us the answer. The god of this age, who is the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel should shine in unto them. They're in darkness, and they need the light. They need the light of the gospel. And of course, if they're not reading their Bibles, then about the only thing they can read is the character or the lifestyle of the man who professes to be a Christian. Therefore, we have to let our light so shine that men may see the light whether it be the city on the hill, or the testimony in the business, or in the home. We have to let the light so shine that others may see it. And here's the reason for it. When they see that light, they may see your good works. You see, you don't get saved by your good works, but the fact that you have been saved and become a disciple, it's unto good works. And these good works should be manifested, and therefore they will glorify your Father which is in heaven.